Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to another broadcast of Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to have a special guest today, Christine Wick, and we'll be talking about 666 and Syria. So stay tuned for that. The chat room is open, so if you'd like to make some comments, we'll be looking for your comments. And it's been a strange week, hasn't it? Of course, I live in Florida, near Tampa, and it was a little scary during the beginning of the week when we didn't know if we were going to have a hurricane or not. So I guess it was a little odd for the people that had come from out of town to come to a convention and not know if they were going to have to go through a hurricane. So I imagine it was a little frightening for most people and devastating for some people in Louisiana. Somehow I can't figure that whole situation out, why it's 7 years later and the one particular place that did flood, they didn't, they had the money. They said they had $1 billion or something like that to shore up that levee, and they never did it. So I don't understand that at all. And so now these people are left with, many of them will probably lose their homes. Some of the water was up to the rooftops. Oh, must have been 18, 20 feet high. So it was quite devastating. And we have to remember those people in our prayers. And how you just never know what's going to happen in the crazy days we're living in. You see, we have a big mosquito West Nile virus. Where did that come from all of a sudden? It's odd, isn't it? And they have to go overhead with airplanes dropping poison on everything. I know I wouldn't particularly care for that, for somebody flying over my house and dropping insecticide all over my house and my yard. So every day in the news, we see more and more events that are pointing to the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're going to be bringing our guest on in just a few moments. I just wanted to go over a few scriptures. Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And that is the number of the beast. And that number, it's used, you see it used quite a bit in especially in demonic worship. Also, Revelation 17:13, it says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And we see that more and more in these days, don't we, that there is no right and wrong. Anything goes. And if you happen to be a person that has any kind of morals, you're considered the strange one. Just like I know a person that they're still married, And of course, they haven't lived with their husband for about 4 years. And they're not saved, but anyway, they decide, she decides to get a boyfriend and has a boyfriend and doesn't think anything of it while they're still married. And then if you say anything, you're the weird one. So it's weird times that we're living in. Anyway, hi, Christine.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. Good. Very, very good. So we're going to be talking today about a very interesting subject because we hear a little bit on the news about Syria. I don't think most of the listeners really know what's going on. It's kind of been in bits and pieces. I mean, my thought is that they've been slowly trying to take the government of Syria out.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. They're in what's called a civil war right now.
Yeah. To me, the civil war has been agitated. I often wonder how civil wars come about.
Well, it's internal, and now, but it's not to the point now where it's no longer just Syria. It's the foreign troops are now fighting on the side of the rebels. And then, of course, Iran is supporting President Assad to keep the regime intact. So it's a pull over there, and I tell you what, we really need to pray for the Christians that are in the middle of all this as the, you know, the two Muslim factions fight each other.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes you got to look at this too, and I'm sure a Christian Syrian might back me up on this. Assad really did allow Christianity there.
Yeah.
And we are now seeing the results of what happens when we take out a leader that allows Christianity, even though it's not a majority, it's a very small minority, but they're allowed peacefully and allowed safely. Look at what happened when Mubarak stepped down or was thrown out.
Yeah, well,
we now have a severe situation there with the rise of Morsi and what the Christians are now going through. There's actually reports now that there are Christians being crucified, literally crucified.
Yeah. Yeah,
there
crucified.
In front of the government offices.
Yeah,
and but they're also doing this to other criminals too. But but they're focusing on the Christians who are starting to speak out against this Muslim Brotherhood. And if we have, you know, Assad step down here, yeah, you know, he wasn't the best of people. I mean, he was kind of a dictator, just like Mubarak was. But at least Christianity was allowed. There is a Catholic Church that does flourish in Syria.
Yeah.
And it's now, that's in jeopardy. You know?
Well,
it is
odd and strange because why would anyone want the Muslim Brotherhood to be in control of your country?
Well, I have a theory for that one, but, you know, that's God's hand in that. And
yeah.
To allow Islam to rise here, but, you know, we'll look back at this some years from now and know why it all happened, because I do believe it falls in line with God's word.
Yeah, we will look back, like you said, years from now and say, yes, Lord, it was your plan, because even... I know there's a scripture that says, here it is, Revelation 17:17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will.
Exactly.
And to agree. Yeah.
Very
and to
much
give
like
their
what
kingdom
Pharaoh
unto
did.
The beast.
Yeah.
Until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
You know, and I struggle with Christians who say, well, I'm going to pray that I never, that the mark of the beast never comes around. I pray that the Antichrist will never arise. But, you know, at some point, you've got to understand it's God's word, and it's if he says, I declare it, and so it will be, it's almost like, is it futile to pray? I don't know. That's a tough question. If God says it's going to be, I don't think any prayer would go against what he has written in his word.
That's very true.
So I struggle with that one. Of course, I don't want to see the rise of an Antichrist. I don't. That's going to be devastating. But at the same time, It's God's plan to end the world and to end those who follow the Antichrist.
Yes, that's it. We can't, of course, no one wants to see this kind of thing happen. And but what can you do? You can't change. Either you believe God's word or you don't believe it. And he said it was going to happen. He said there would be an Antichrist. There would be this beast, false prophet. And they would work miracles, which we see so much of today because we see so many so-called miracle workers out there. And because people see miracles or so-called miracles, then they want to follow these people whether or not they're right or wrong.
Right. And I think the big difference with the miracles that we see today, whether it be coming out of the evangelical, I think you know what I mean here, people who hit each other on the head and they fall over and things like that. If you believe in those as miracles, that's fine. But there's a lot of people that will come back and say that was faked, that was staged. And I believe the difference when the Antichrist comes, I mean, and the Bible is very clear that he will do miracles to the point where the world is in awe of this beast who's able to perform miracles such as lightning coming down from heaven. It will be such a miracle that there is going to be no way you can claim this as magic or you can claim this as an illusion. And that's the difference between the miracles we see today performed by your typical evangelical Christian or I mean, there are miracles today. We can perform miracles. We can pray for a miracle.
Sure.
But the difference is when the Antichrist does it, it's going to be so prominent and it's going to be so unbelievable that it will be a miracle, just like the Bible describes it. So that's, you know, that's one of the clues to look for when the Antichrist arises. Is he going to be doing these supernatural things that cannot be explained through any other thing other than a miracle?
Yeah, that's, I've had even friends that have said this about some of the false teachers and false prophets out there. Wow, well, there was miracles and there was people that rose from the dead, as if that would endorse false doctrine. Well, Jesus said it was a wicked and generation that always just followed after a sign, because doctrine is important. The word of God is important, and we always have to stand on what the word of God says first, regardless of any kind of a miracle that we see. I believe God performs miracles. I've had miracles in my own life, but I certainly wouldn't want a Buddhist or a Hindu or somebody like that performing a miracle, praying for me and performing a miracle, and then I would believe it. Wow, they performed a miracle. So it doesn't matter that they don't know Jesus Christ. That always matters, and it should always matter. The other day I had noticed a lady who calls herself a prophetess, and she was offering people a stone you could send in to her so-called ministry, and she was going to send you a stone of David, and you could hold this stone in your hand, and then you would receive the anointing that David had, and it was a...
You know, the devil comes around as an angel of light to deceive those.
Yeah.
And if you need a sign to affirm your faith, then you are not strong enough to be an army of God.
Yes.
Blessed are those who have seen or have not seen and have still believed.
Yeah, and have still believed. Yeah. So that's the thing with this, with the 666 and the Antichrist is, it'll be very alluring and probably be good-looking people.
Mm-hmm. And the Bible states it three times. The whole world is in awe of the beast. And they say, who is like unto him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who is like this guy? This guy is going to be incredible. Probably very good to look at. You know, a very good looking guy. Obviously a very good orator, because the Bible said he speaks great things. And, you know, it's going to have the answers to all our problems. And believe me, the world will get a whole lot worse. And then he will seem to have all the answers.
Yeah. And then look out. But that's how the devil is, because the devil promises you things. And then if the devil gives you anything, you can be guaranteed that he's going to take it away. And I know some people pray, well, whatever the devil stole, he has to give back. Well, he's not going to give anything back. And anyway, you wouldn't want it back from the devil. if the devil took anything from you, then God will give it back to you. But I've even heard people command, well, I command the devil to give it back. Well, he's not going to give anything back because he's a thief.
Mm-hmm. He seeks to steal and destroy. You bet.
Yes. To kill, steal, and destroy. And we see enough of that today, enough of the destroying and the killing. And it's a strange world we're living in. Very, very strange. The sign of the times are all around us, the pestilence, the floods, the earthquakes, the droughts, the fires.
And they're going to get worse.
And it's going to get worse.
Yes.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
Oh, and the Bible predicts it does get worse.
And what is your take then on the whole 666 Mark of the Beast?
Okay. I think we were going to go ahead and talk on two subject lines. So we'll start with the 666.
Okay.
All right, let's read First Revelation. I'm going to take this out of the Living Bible's interpretation.
Okay.
Same message, regardless what version you use. It's Revelation 13, verse 18. Let those who are able interpret this code. The numerical values of the letters in his name add to 666. Okay, let's break this down. This verse into basically three parts here. Let those who are able. I believe the King James Version says, let those who have wisdom. In other words, those who get it, those who have an understanding. This is not something that's just simple to just read it like you would John 3:16. No, this is something that takes a little bit of study, takes a little bit of knowledge into the background of this code, when it was written, who it was directed to, and so on. There's a lot of study to this because it is like a riddle. And, in fact, the Living Bible says interpret this code. It's a riddle. It's I would say, something you can't just get it by just reading the verse. You have to dig into this and go all the way through Scripture. You have to go through, and there's a lot of study that comes behind this. And I think once we start figuring out the code, and I also believe that things are sealed up for certain amounts of time, but as we come closer and closer to the end time here, I do see more and more this number getting released. And I'll come back to that towards the end as I get done explaining this here. So it is actually a code or a riddle. So it's something that John wrote back 2,000 years ago, okay? When he wrote this code, and we have to understand that this was at the time of the Roman Empire. These are the legs of iron that the statue of Nebuchadnezzar had. The legs of iron are also part of the feet, which are clay and iron mixed together. So we do know that the Antichrist, which is the feet of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, will come from the Roman Empire because it's part iron, okay? But there's a mixture, so there's something else that's caught up in it that's clay, and they don't mix. I'm thinking it could be Islam, because Christianity and Islam, or the, you know, whatever, it does not mix, or the Western world, if you think it comes from the European Union, and so on. But that's a study in itself. At the time that John wrote this code in Revelation, it was the Roman Empire. What was the official language of the Roman Empire? Do you remember? You go back to your history days of school. It was Latin. We know this for a fact because Latin is written on the Roman coins. It is also a language that is used throughout the world today. It's considered a dead language, but we still use it. we have it on our money. It is actually the official language of the Vatican. They still speak in Latin today. Their services do, and so on. And a lot of the writings are still in Latin. The numerical number system back then, they did not have 1, 2, 3, 4. That did not come out till much later. The number system that was used at the time of John officially for the Roman Empire were Roman numerals. Do we still have Roman numerals today? Yes, we do. If you are John Doe the third, you are not John Doe with a number 3 behind it. It is 3 individual letter I's. Super Bowl is listed as a Roman numeral. So are movie patents and that type of thing. The clock numbers are still Roman numerals in a lot of clocks. This, to me, is a big, big clue. God kept those two things alive for 2,000 years to help us interpret the code today. We have the number system. We have the language system that can still be used. Now look at the second or the third part of Revelation 13:18. The numerical values of letters. That means number values of letters. You get what I mean here?
Yeah.
Here we have letters that have a number value. Does not the letter X have a number value? Yes, it's a 10. So if we take the clues given by Latin and Roman numerals, and now we have a Latin language that also has letters that are also numbers, we do have it in a particular name. Now, a lot of people are going to be like, okay, this probably is now naming the Antichrist. I am not going to name him in person, like, this is Frank of France, okay? We can't do that yet because the Antichrist is not in power yet. I do believe, however, we can name the office or the position of who the Antichrist will be. I'll use an example here of the President of the United States. I do not know who the President of the United States will be in November. We don't know that 100%.
Yeah.
But I know there will be an office of the President of the United States. Okay? We know of the position. We know the office of it. And I certainly hope we do have a president. Well, the way things are going, who knows now what may happen.
Yeah, you never know.
But, you know,
what
I don't know who. Right. I don't know who will fill it, but I know there will be that position. And we have the exact same thing with the Antichrist here. I believe we can name the position, the type of government it will be, the entity that it will be. I just cannot name the person and the face. That will come about when the time is right. Now we have a little bit of lesson of history here. Back when Constantine was emperor of the Roman world, when he became saved, he actually had split the Roman Empire into two parts, the western and the eastern part. He ruled the eastern part from Constantinople, which is what he named after him. The western part he gave to the bishop of the Catholic Church, or the Bishop of Rome, he was called. This actually traded in later as called the Holy Roman Catholic Church. The bishop at that time was Pope Sylvester. He is actually the first pope. It is Pope Sylvester. Pope Sylvester was given a document which gave him the authority of all the Western Roman Empire. Now it was called the Donation of Constantine. As it was addressed, this is the name that Constantine gave the Pope. It was called Vicarius Filii Dei. It is Latin. Vicarius Filii Dei. It is the original birth name of the Pope, since that is the first time that it was put into writing, and that's when the actual creation of the papacy was started, given the authority by Constantine. This was an actual document that circulated for hundreds of years And the papacy actually used that document well after Constantine had passed away. The papacy used this as authority over affairs of the state. When somebody would come up against the papacy to contradict a certain law or a rule, the papacy would haul out the donation of Constantine and said, look, we have power by the Roman Empire, that we are the ruler of this part of the world. And they used that consistently. However, I believe it was the 1500s. There was a professor by the name of Andreas Hellwig, H-E-L-W-I-G, who made the connection of vicarius filii dei in Latin and taking the Roman numerals that were in there, the V, the C, the I, and so on, and making the connection to it adding up to 666. And I'm going to show you how he did that. It was at that time, and this is documented, that the church went in through an upheaval, and they changed the name of the Pope to not being the vicar of the Son of God, which is what vicarius filii dei is. They changed it to vicarius Christus, which is vicar of Christ, who we have today, or the name today. That name now does not add up to 666. They changed it.
Oh.
But this is all documentation. You can go ahead and search for this. It is true. Vicarius Christus was not the original name of the Pope. It was called Vicarius Filii Dei. Now, I know a lot of, I wish we had a visual here, but we don't. So if we take, and I believe we need to use the original Latin name of the Pope, and if you take Vicarius, and you add up the letters, and this is where if someone's got a pen, I'm going to give the spelling of this. So there you can take the number values of the letters in the name. If you allow me to do that, Susan, I'll have the people get a pen and paper.
Okay.
Okay. Vicarius is spelled this way. V as in victory. I. C as in cat. A. R. I. U, S as in Sam. That means vicar. Filii is spelled F as in Frank. I, L, I. That means the son of. And then Dei is D as in dog, E, I, which is God. Vicar of the Son of God. Okay, now let's find the letters in the Roman numerals that fit this. And there is, again, a bit of a study on this, and it makes sense. I'll explain it as we go here, because this gets a bit deep. The first large number is a D. A D in Roman numerals is a value of 500. We have one of those. So we have 500, let's say 500 points right now. A C, and there's one C in the name, has a value of 100 points. So we now have 600. The L has a value of 50. So we now have 650. The U has a value of a 5, as does the V. Now you're thinking, oh, wait a minute here. U is not a Roman numeral. Yes, it was. At the time John wrote this, the letter U and the V were the same letter. They never split until 300 A.D. Look that up in a dictionary. Look up the letter U. It will show a V. It originally was a V. When language became more predominant, or I should say letters became and words became more frequent, they separated the U and the V in 300 A.D. after John wrote the code. So we have to consider the U being the same letter as the V at the time of John. We have one of each of those in this name. The U, there's one, and there's one V. That is a number of 10 then, 5 and 5. So we now have 660. And then you can guess how many I's are there. I has a value of 1. So we have 666. In the original name of Vicarius Vel'ei Dei, which is the birth name of a pope, or the pope, or the office of the pope in the Vatican. Now, you might think, okay, so a pope is going to be the Antichrist? Look at the word of God in the book of Revelation. Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at the book of Revelation and put him into the subject line of the beast and the great harlot being the traditions of the Catholic Church. Now, I'm not knocking the faith of a Christian Catholic. I am knocking the religion of the Catholic Church. There is a big difference.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a big difference. Now,
you
I was
bet.
Raised Catholic, so I know exactly what you're talking about, because we talked about Jesus all the time, and I love Jesus, and I didn't know who Jesus was from the man in the moon.
You bet. And I'm going to make very clear here in Revelation 18, verse 14, it is stating that Christ calls his followers from out of the harlot. It says, get out of her, my people, so you do not partake in her sins.
Yes.
There is proof right there. There are believers in the Catholic Church. And when the Antichrist arises, or let's say when a new pope comes around and starts changing things, there is going to be a great many Catholics that will disagree, and they will leave the church. And this makes sense when the harlot says to those people, I will not weep. I will not care if you go. You know, and that is also found in Revelation. I believe that is in Revelation 18. It makes sense. You're going to see a mass exodus of Catholic believers who are born-again Christians who will leave the Catholic Church. Keep in mind, it's the Pope that changes the direction of the church. He makes a command, everybody follows it. And that's why the woman rides on the back of the beast. She has no control of when the beast goes or what it does. She is a rider. And that's
yeah.
kind of the way the Catholic Church is today, on the back of the Pope. The Pope says what goes, it goes. And we have seen that change over in our own lifetimes, time after time after time again. Pope
yeah.
Benedict has even made some changes in the order of the Catholic Church. And they feel he comes directly from God, so he can do that.
Well,
and that
yeah,
to me is unfathomable.
True. Yeah, it's kind of odd in relation to the Dark Ages, of course, when people didn't have Bibles and they fought. Of course, the Catholic Church fought very hard to keep the Bible out of the common person's hands. They didn't want people to read it. And it was quite amazing how they managed for years to have an Inquisition and to actually murder people that didn't join their church.
And that's
and they got away
again.
With it.
And that's going to happen again.
Yeah, it's going to happen again, because you can see even now, and in the Bible talks about a famine of the Word of God, but we see it today. I'm constantly amazed at what so-called Christian people will accept, at what Christian television networks so-called will accept when it comes to the gospel. And we see that today, that when people are ignorant of the Word of God and they don't know it, they can be easily deceived.
You bet. And that's what Jesus warned us about, to
yeah.
pay attention, to be watching.
Yeah.
And because the Antichrist will deceive. And that brings me to a very strong point here as to why I believe that the Antichrist will be a Christian entity. Because look at the demographics of Revelation. Who are the people that he chases? Or who are the ones that would balk against an Antichrist? Those are the Christians.
Yeah,
those are
real
the ones
Christians.
That are going to say, I'm not worshiping anything but God, thank you.
Yes.
And
amen.
Think of this, be here in the position of the devil. The devil's goal is not to get the unbeliever. He's already got them. And the unbeliever will follow whatever the wind blows, because
yes.
there's no strong support from the Word of God. They
right.
don't care. As long as it's me, that's all I care about.
Right.
The devil does not need to go after the Muslims. They are already fooled into believing a false religion.
Yes.
His focus is to nail the believer or the Christian who's on the fence, maybe not quite a believer or not quite strong enough. That, and that's been the devil's goal all along, is to deceive the believer, to try and get, you know, you would say almost like getting one back as through the flames, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
His goal in the form of an antichrist is to not to deceive the unbeliever, it's to deceive the believer if that was possible. Jesus said
yeah.
that. Even the
yeah.
elect, if it was possible. That is his goal. And
yeah.
I believe he needs to use a Christian entity to do that. And then you couple with what you mentioned in the beginning of your show, you couple that up with miracles, being able to, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say what miracles they are, but I can pretty much guess that this Antichrist will heal people on the spot.
Yes.
He will be able to call fire down from heaven, so he'll be able to kill people on the spot. I don't know. That's something we will see as time moves on. But if he is able to deceive a Christian or a supposed Christian, that would be his end game. That's his goal. And why not
well,
use
we're
a Christian
already
entity?
Seeing that.
Absolutely.
We're already seeing that. I can't believe that we have people that are homosexuals, we have people that are adulterers, fornicators. People don't even seem to mind. They don't even leave these churches anymore. They don't take a stand for righteousness. Well, anything goes. So what?
You bet. And that's the devil's, the devil loves that because there's no moral stoplights.
No, there's no moral stoplight, and who cares? Let's just have fun, and let's just get some prosperity, and we have a good time when we go over there. We like the music, and we like the preaching, the shouting, and the dancing, and we don't care what anybody does.
and that's the way the mega churches are going.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and let's talk less about God's wrath. Let's talk less about hell. Let's all make this a feel-good religion, and that to me is very dangerous because God is in a balance. There is a good part of him, absolutely. His grace, his mercy is abundant, and it's fulfilled absolutely in my life. I see it. But there's also a damnation for those who refuse to repent, and that's the part they want to leave out because that's the nasty part.
Well, because then they can't draw in followers. After all, they want to fill these seats, and then they want to build bigger buildings and fill more seats.
You bet.
And collect more donations.
And that's where the Antichrist will use those mega churches, because you're going to see things. You're already seeing things getting twisted.
Yeah,
and it's
very
gonna get
twisted.
Twisted even more so.
And twisted even more so.
Absolutely.
I'm surprised that when you see a so-called Christian television network and they have a lady on that's telling you to send in for a stone that you can mm-hmm. hold in your hand and get the anointing of David, and somehow they don't think anything is wrong with that. They even give these people airtime and even give these people credibility with all the miracle selling and the send me $50 and all your prayers will be answered, your needs will be met. And it's so bizarre what we're seeing today that they call Christianity. So, yes, there's going to be a real separation.
You bet. And this is where there will come a time, and this is when the mark becomes very apparent, that the Christian who sits on the fence is no longer able to do so. You either going to do this or you're going to do that. You're either going to follow Christ and his teachings, or you're going to follow the Antichrist. You cannot do both.
No,
and
you can't do both. You can't have one foot in the world.
Yep, and how many Christians today would actually say, well, I mean, a lot of them will say it, but will actually do it. I am going to forfeit the welfare of my family to stay in line with the Bible. That is going to be very difficult for, I'd say, a good majority of the Christians that sit in church today, because you start taking away little frivolous things, especially in America.
Yeah.
Especially in the Western world. We are just too spoiled. And this is, to me, the generation that God's going to be like, yeah, you are going to be tried like gold in a fire, because I'm going to see that you're true to me or not. And that's where I believe the Antichrist needs to come up. And he needs to claim to be God, like Revelation states, so that people who know their Bible will see the wrong in it. And of course, we need to speak out. And that's what my mission is. I speak out as much as I can on people just to warn them this stuff, this 666, this is a real person coming. This is not just a way of thinking. A lot of people like to think that 666 is a way of thinking. No, it is not. The Bible is clear. It's a number of a man. It's a rise of one person who rules the whole world.
Yes.
And all the scripture in Revelation and Daniel, it points to that rise of one man who actually takes on God himself and claims to be God.
And claims to be God,
now,
yeah.
Now, you tell me, that has to be someone with a Christian background.
Yeah.
If I have a $20 bill that I just made, I counterfeited it, but you don't know that, and I want to purchase something that you have, and I have to make it appear that you will take my money, my $20. What do I have to do to fool you, to deceive you? I have to create that to be as close to the original as possible.
Yeah.
And that's the devil's way here. He needs to create an Antichrist that is so close to the original God that the Christian will follow it and to be deceived and accept it as real.
And they do. I've even heard Christians say that Obama is a Christian. And even I've heard Christians say the same thing about Mitt Romney. I thought it was very odd the other day. Mitt Romney was doing an interview, and he said, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, and he actually does. They do believe that. However,
who is?
Look at his Lord Jesus Christ. He is actually Lucifer's brother.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, I thought, wow, there to the normal, natural mind, wow, that was a bold comment, because you didn't even hear George Bush say that.
Yep.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Never
but
heard him.
But watch what his Lord and Savior actually is.
Yeah, who
and
is the...
there is a deception here.
Yeah, there is a great deception there. But that's the thing is, he wasn't afraid to make that bold statement. Of course, he wasn't making a true statement, as we know the truth to be, because then who is the Jesus? The Bible talks about that, another Jesus, another gospel.
Yeah. And Susan, I want to bring up another point here before we get maybe on a different topic. Remember our last show, we were talking about the mark of the beast and the boil frog theory, the theory that things become so desensitized that once it actually comes around in its fullness, we realize, oh, how do we get this far? I want to show you a number of things that I have come up with on the 666 number itself. I think you will find this very interesting, and I think your listeners will too.
Okay.
First of all, there's one big clue that we should probably use Roman numerals as a method of the numbers and letters of value. If you take the first six numbers of the Roman numerals, the I, the V, the X, the L, the C, and the D, and you add them all up, they add to 666.
Oh.
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
That's almost like God's way of saying, look, these are all little hints here of what to use. And so I just something that's just add those up. The first six letters of the Roman numeral alphabet or number, whatever you want to call it, you will find it adds up to 666. There is, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this, there is a drink on the market called Monster. It's put out by Monster Beverages. You are well aware, and I'm sure everybody knows this. Very vivid letter M. That is their logo. It looks like claw marks. It's in the shape of an M. It's called Monster. It's an energy drink.
Oh.
Okay. Very common. Very popular. Very common among teenagers. They love this drink. without a visual here, I'm going to explain what this monster drink is. It is actually the number 666.
Oh.
If anybody has got a can of Monster in their fridge, and believe me, or just go to the gas station and look at it, if you look at the letter M, there's actually a space in between the lines that go down that make the letter M. M's got, you know, three humps, or, you know, the three humps. If you look at the humps, you will see there's a separation. There's a small gap there. It is actually not a letter M for Monster. It is actually three distinct symbols. It has got a short top with a long tail. And if you go into the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew letter of Wav, W-A-V, that's the Hebrew letter of Wav, it looks just like that letter M, or that little segment, the three little segments that make up the letter M, a short top with a long tail. That is actually also the number six in Hebrew. So the Wav letter is actually not the M on the Monster can, but a 666. Take this further. You look into the O of the letter of the word Monster. The letter O of the word Monster has a literal cross in it. There is a Christian cross in it.
Oh.
It is unmistakable. It is not part of the letter. It is extra. It is added into it.
Uh-huh.
We now have the possibility of a 666 on the can with a symbol of Christianity in the O of the word Monster.
Yeah.
And believe me when I tell you this, on the side of the can, it says, "Unleash the Beast." It is on the can.
I wonder what's in that stuff.
Well,
they probably don't even
drink.
Tell you the secret ingredient that's in there.
No, I don't know what it is, but it's supposed to keep you awake. It's an energy drink.
Oh, yeah, well, who knows what's in there.
It's very sour.
They put that on the can.
But I'm trying to tell people here, this is that boil frog theory. This is the little subliminal messages to desensitize us to the number 666.
Exactly. Desensitized.
And what I find unbelievable is ABC's new fall lineup. Have you seen the commercials yet? ABC has a new show coming. It starts in September. It's in a few short weeks. It is called 666 Park Avenue.
Oh.
That is on your national television, and I am seeing commercials already for it.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen something about that, and it's very, very lewd and crude.
And this is your 666, as blatant as can be. And I don't know, I think the boil frog theory just got heated up about 120 degrees with that. But it is I believe, honestly, it is twofold. It is the devil's way of desensitizing us, and it's God's way of making us aware.
Yeah.
It's both. I do believe it's both. It's just depends on what side of that fence you're on.
Yeah.
To me, it speaks more blatantly of the coming of a 666.
To me,
that's God speaking to me.
Well, here you go with this. It's probably going to be a very lavish production, nice sets and costumes.
Well, I believe what it is, it's actually an address on Park Avenue. It's a very luxurious hotel that a couple takes over, and they rent out these rooms. And, of course, there's the witchcraft and the voodoo. And it definitely is the 666. It's linked with evil. But it's a fun place to be. You know?
Oh, yeah, it's a fun place to be. But you notice that I was watching a movie the other day. I think it was made in maybe the 30s. And, of course, they always glamorize adultery. It's always, she wasn't married to a good husband. She didn't love her husband. So it's okay for them to run off with the boyfriend because, after all, the husband wasn't good to the wife or didn't love the wife. So, it's kind of like the situation you see today, where you see so much adultery and so much fornication, sex before marriage, and people don't really think much of it. There was a pastor recently, I think has a church in California, had a baby with a woman, a famous woman, and nobody thought anything of it. He just went out on around his business, and he's still appearing on TBN. And I'm just shocked by this kind of behavior, that there's no discipline, there's no morals, the Bible says that we're supposed to, as Christians, have a life that's an example. Okay, if we all sin, we've all made mistakes, but to continue in that blatant sin and not to show any kind of repentance about it, it's really shocking to me.
And then
really
you
shocking.
Know why God is going to be creating this office of the Antichrist, to create a mark, to go on the heads of those people who do not follow him. And now you know why God's going to be separating the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. And we're seeing it. And the more and more Christians will speak out, which is becoming less and less, but the more we speak out, the more weird we become. I think you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah,
getting
you
up
become
the show.
Very weird. It's like a
yep.
situation that I'm having with someone I know who's still married. Of course, like I said, they don't live with their husband. They haven't lived with their husband for 6 years. But they decided they're just going to get a boyfriend and move the boyfriend into the house.
Sure. And woe unto those who call good evil and evil good.
And I'm saying,
the time is coming. The time
I'm like,
is coming.
Excuse me, the girl is still married. Why don't the parents care? Oh, well, the mother says, well, I don't want to judge her. I don't want to.
We need to. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy that we are required to judge our brothers and sisters. The judge for the outsiders, that's left up to God. But when we see fellow Christians who claim to be Christians do things that are contrary to the word of God, we are supposed to get involved. We are supposed to show it. And it's very biblical. You take it to them with one or two of people with you. If they don't obey, you take it to the church. And then we're supposed to cast them out of the church. You know, that's where it ends, because we don't. And the church has become infiltrated with this.
Well, it's become infiltrated. And there will be many that won't take the mark. I don't know, Christine, if you saw this a couple of days ago in the news, where in some college somewhere now they have a new ID card that they have to wear around their neck.
Hmm.
And it has a chip in it.
Yeah, they're actually having bracelets made for some students at a school. It's an elementary school. And I believe the parents went up against the school and they backed down from it. But the kids were supposed to wear a bracelet with a chip in it, so the bus driver knew if the kids were on the right bus. They could track to make sure the kids were on the bus, that type of thing. For the first 1 or 2 weeks of school, they were going to be doing this. Well, believe it or not, I guess they backed down from this because the parents were in an uproar.
Yeah.
I thought, kudos to those parents. But this is going to become more and more. And of course,
very commonplace. It'll be very commonplace.
Yep. And more and more, I mean, I'm sure there was a few people that took names down of who the parents were that went up against.
Oh, sure.
And say, hey, you know, we need to get rid of these people.
Yeah, these are troublemakers here.
These are troublemakers. They stand in the way of progress.
I don't know if anybody tried to sell a piece of property lately, but now the title company will do a Patriot search on you. They will actually search to find out who you are.
Yep, and if you feel that you should probably not, you know, have a computer, or you feel like you can't do this, you can't do that, don't worry about it. They already got your name. So just, you know, move forward. I said, move forward. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to, you know, and people say, well, I'm not going to, you know, check out that kind of a book out of the library because somebody may be watching. They already knew when you had it in your hand. So just, you know.
Yeah. Well, they do that now in the library.
Forward.
They do keep track of certain books that you check out. Yes, they do that. But the thing is,
take the flip of a switch to find out what you've been checking out lately. What kind of news articles are you opening up? What type of YouTube videos do you watch?
Sure, they track all that.
They can track it all that in a matter of seconds. And,
sure, and the thing is, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that God is our protector. So
you bet.
I will be
bold, and I will speak out. And I tell you what, when the Antichrist comes on the scene and it's very clear what he will do, first of all, it's that 7-year treaty with Israel. That's your first clue right there. As soon as that comes up, I mean, I'm sitting out with a megaphone, and I'm warning people about this. Are you going to, you know, are they going to let me do that? Probably not, but I'm going to try, because if I can hit 2 or 3 people by telling them, watch out for this person, do not ever worship this person, that needs to be said. And the Christians
absolutely.
That have knowledge on this need to start being bold about this.
You need to start being bold. Call your local Christian television stations and register your complaints about these hucksters and these Antichrist spirits that they've allowed to come in. And if you're attending a church and they start allowing this foolishness, just, you know, hit the door running. If the pastor refuses to listen to you, just hit the door running.
You bet. And speak up. Don't just leave the church going, well, you know, I think we'll just look for another church. Make your appointment known. Make your case shown to the board.
That's
be
right.
Be strong about this. Tell
be
them this is why
it.
You were leaving and why they are wrong, and be a prophet.
That's it.
Stand up.
Amen.
And see
that
prophet.
Isaiah and that Hezekiah and that Zephaniah and that Ezekiel and Jeremiah. That's right. Be bold.
You bet. And
if
you have a listener today that is seeing something occurring in his church, that other people are allowing it because they don't want to make waves and they don't want to cause strife, I'm telling that person right now, get some spine in your back here.
That's
get
right.
some backbone and speak up for the Lord, because that's what matters. And
that's what matters, because they're not
that,
going to like you anyway. They pretend to like you, but...
You know, and if the Holy Spirit is moving you to speak up against something or someone that is doing something that is not right, according to the Word of God, is not right, then you need to do something about it, because you may be the only one.
Yeah,
you
might
be
the
only
one. And it only took one person, the Apostle Paul. Look at all he could accomplish, one person. And we're talking about 666 today and the Antichrist and the deception, how nice, how handsome he'll be and how well-spoken he'll be and how well-dressed he'll be. And he'll talk about Jesus. Yes, he'll talk about Jesus, and it'll sound so inviting and so enticing. And if you don't know the Word of God and you don't stand up for the truth, you too will be deceived. It's easy to be deceived.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's the bottom line. Get yourself wrapped up around the Word of God. Start learning it. Start putting it in your heart, because there's going to come a day where you ain't going to have a Bible to look at no more.
That's it.
That was a double negative there.
I'm telling you, but the Word of God will. It's amazing how when you put it in you, how it does come. And it is there. I mean, we didn't really get to talk too much about Syria today. We'll have to go.
You know, we're going to have to do that another show, because I tell you what, I've got a whole hour segment just for that.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we'll do that, because it's, I mean, this topic alone was, you know, we got into it, but we didn't really get into the deeper, I think there were some more deeper things, but it was, for me, I think it was enough for people to kind of chew on.
Yep.
Information.
It's just my thought. You know, I mean, if the Antichrist arises to be somebody else, you know, that's, like I said, the idea that a pope could be an Antichrist makes sense to me. It fits in with God's word, you know, and the more I look into it and the more I see what the Vatican is doing on the world scene, the more I am convinced that the next one coming is going to be very dangerous. And if I can do anything but warn somebody, and if I'm wrong, that's okay. You know, at least it gave you something to think about.
Well, it also warns people against the false religious system.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing
Absolutely.
Wrong with that. And for people to come out of her, my people.
That's a clue right there, that there are, this is a movement of a Christianity movement. There are no believers in Islam. Christ will not call his people from out of Islam. There is no Christian believers in Islam. That's true. It comes out of a Christian religion he is calling her out of, and or calling them out of. And that, to me, gives me more clues here that the rise of the harlot and the Antichrist will be a Christian entity.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, hey, I appreciate you having me on, Susan. It's been a wonderful hour again.
Yeah, it's always good to have you on, always. And we'll have to do the next program. Sorry, everybody, we didn't really get into Syria, but we'll have Christine come back and tell the people about your book and your website before we go.
All right. If you want to learn more on the Vetcurious Phil-Ei-Dei, I actually have on my website, it's right on the front, explainthis.us, as in United States. So explainthis.us. The cover of my book is there. You can click on that for a free sample chapter. But click on that orange business card that's right on the front, and you will have this whole explanation of that name, Vicarious Phil-Ei-Dei, and how it adds up to 666.
Yeah, that's
And that's
good.
All,
yeah.
You can email that. It's all downloadable for free. This is a message. I'm not here to make money. It's a message.
Okay. But you do have a book, explain this, a verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation, and that is available on your website and
yep,
then
actually,
on Amazon.
It's cheaper, yeah, it's cheaper on my website than Amazon because you do not have to pay for shipping on my website. I pay that for you. So the book is actually $9.99 plus shipping, or I just put $14.99 with free shipping.
Yeah.
But Amazon actually has the first few pages for free to look at, to sample. And if you have a Kindle, it is 99 cents.
Oh, good. So I encourage people to get Christine's book because, look, I mean, who takes the time to do this? A verse-by-verse explanation of the book of Revelation?
It's been an awesome gift that God gave me, an awesome gift to understand
yes,
it.
And that is an awesome gift. So she's a workman is worthy, and she put a lot of work into this. So you can... instead of you having to take the time to study a verse by verse revelation, you've got someone that's already done the studying, and you can take her book and take your Bible out and learn something. And the book of Revelation is a wonderful book. So
it's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, isn't it? But anyway, okay, you have a great holiday.
And you as well, and your listeners as well.
Yeah, thank
you. God bless you, Susan, and your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, everybody, thank you, Christine. Everybody, thank you for tuning in today. And no matter what comes your way today, we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is a real person. He is alive. We don't serve a dead God. Jesus Christ is alive, and you can be born again today. You can receive a new life in Christ. Old things can pass away, and behold, all things can become new. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, that first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be born again. It doesn't mean that when you were baptized, when you were a baby, you were born again. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to repent of your sins and ask him to forgive you of your sins, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he can forgive you of your sins today. He can give you a new life. And all you have to do is ask. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And truly, you will see, you will be born again, and you will have a new life. And get out your Bible and start reading your Bible and finding out what God has to say. The Bible is a wonderful book, and it will bless you tremendously. So God bless you today. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. We have a great program with Steve Lumley, and we'll be talking about David Barton and his false teachings on Christian America. God bless you. Record, here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.